This morning we're going to be going the second mile. And our message today, Jesus speaks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't know if you've ever been asked to go the second mile. If you haven't, maybe you will. And we need to take serious what Jesus talks about in reaching out and doing what's necessary to help others, to lead others to Christ. And that's what Jesus' intentions in this message this morning is about. So if you will follow along with me as we read Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, I've heard people say to me that they would turn their cheek the second time, but the Lord don't say what to do after that. Now, I think he intended to do whatever's necessary the third or second or third or fourth time, to turn that cheek. All right, and then verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. So that's a good requirement, isn't it? For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We know all about that verse well. Verse 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Now this is a good verse. A lot of don't understand it, but I understand it, and I hope you will time this message is over. Therefore you are to be perfect. That means we are to be complete in what we do for the Lord. And he would be satisfied with us. So as your Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. So as we look at this message this morning, and we're looking at many different scenarios here of life itself, and each and every one of us have encountered one of these, haven't we? If you think about it, Jesus knew what he was talking about. There were those situations in that day. That's why Jesus addressed them as he did. And it's for a reason. And it is for us when bad things happen to us, it causes us to look at everything in a negative way, but Christ always looked at things in a positive way, to turn hearts, to turn people, to see things in his perspective. And our perspective, God's ways and his thoughts are not our ways, but if our thoughts and our ways were like his, we would see things in his perspective. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling the people here. In telling us, because we have the Word today, and this is our guide to life. So this world is full of people, And if we were going to succeed in life and to be effective in sharing the gospel, we must learn how to deal with people, especially those who are difficult. Has any of you run across anybody that's difficult? Huh? Oh, yeah, we all have, haven't we? Yes, we have. And we must learn to love them no matter how they treat us. We treat them like Jesus would treat them. So in our message today, we're going to see how Jesus taught the importance of patience. And I would say the patience of Job, right? And forgiveness when dealing with difficult people. So he stressed how we should not run from our problems or fight back against opposition. Now, when we were young, we probably, in elementary school, somebody come up and push you down, knock you down or something like that, you get up swinging or something like that. But that's what kids do, you know. But then in 2 minutes, they're playing again, right? Adults don't do that, do they? Not normally. So he stressed how we should not run from our problems or fight back opposition, and then look at it this way. Is it fight or flight was not a part of Jesus' vocabulary. It wasn't. So Jesus taught how we should persist with people. Not resist them, realizing that in due time, our witness could win the loss to Christ. So first of all, Jesus spoke against self-vindication. In verses 38 through 42. Now, how should we respond when someone slaps us or punches us? How should we respond? You want to get angry, don't you? And most of the time, we want to strike back. Jesus said that some people would react with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the way back then. And some think that way today, meaning they would retaliate and take revenge by inflicting harm in return. Now, if you blacken my eye, then I'm going to blacken yours, right? Or if I knock out my tooth, then I'm going to knock out yours. Is that the right way to do it? So in Jesus' time, people attempted to justify their vengeance behavior by the Old Testament law of lex talionis, which means it is the law of retribution. And you can find this in Exodus chapter 21, verses 21 through 25, or Leviticus chapter 24, 19 through 20. This is the law of retribution. And the Old Testament Greek or Hebrew term is talionis. So by Jesus' time, this law was being practiced out of the contents, apart from true justice. And Jesus was trying to put a cap on this and trying to turn their minds and their hearts in the direction of saying, treat people with love. No matter how they treat you, treat them with love. Win them over for me. Win them over for the kingdom. But when the lex talionis came to the rule of the daily life, it fostered revenge. And our Savior would not tolerate it as a principle carried out by the individuals then. And I'm sure he doesn't want that happen today either. So when Jesus stated, I tell you not to resist an evil person. In verse 39, he was saying, seek not private revenge, but leave an avenging of injuries to God and the magistrates. That's what he was saying. Leave it up to God. God will serve the right justice. And, you know, we would do it out of angry, but he would not. He does it out of love. So Jesus was trying to help the people understand that it's not our responsibility to administer justice, because a limited sense of justice we would probably inflict. But we must leave it in the court of law, and the court of law, that's what it's set up to do. But most of all, we need to leave it into the hands of the Lord. You think about all of the things going on in the world today. Think about last evening with the shooting of Trump and to those that was innocent victims that one's life was taken. So we see violence and things like that. Now the law had to take a step and settle the situation. It's unfortunate that the young man who took the shot at Trump last evening was himself fatally injured. So that's not the best outcome, but that's what happens in this life when we take things in our own hands. But the law, there is a law, and we see that we in this nation, or all nations, needs laws, and that's why God gave the Ten Commandments as a guide, as a protection, as a way of living life to the fullness. And here Jesus is telling us the right way. So only Jesus can change the hearts of man's life, right? We can't. You can't. You know, I can't change your heart. I can't change your ways. You can't change mine. But if we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing Jesus to teach us his ways, this world would be a whole lot different, wouldn't it? It surely would. Now, when Jesus said, "I tell you not to resist an evil person," in verse 39. He said, "Seek not private revenge, but leave the avenging injuries to the Lord." Now, he also elaborated in verse 40, I just took it off, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." Now, the tunic, if you know, is a sort of the shirt, undergarment. And the cloak is the outer garment, or our coat. Now, if anyone loses the undergarment at law, the outer garment one goes also. And the more valuable, it's a more valuable one. So based on this information, as Jesus has given us, we can see how Jesus was basically saying, if someone wants to take your most valuable possession, even everything you own, then let him have it. Now, how many of us would do that? Not many, right? Not many of us. So we would have to really think, okay, so I've worked hard all my life. I've gathered all of these possessions and everything, and I'm just to give them away. That's not the intention of what Jesus is saying here, but he's asking us to evaluate the situation and be willing to extend and help someone who is really in need. And there are people in this world that would take advantage and so forth. And he gives us common sense to know what is good, what is bad, and to help those who are really in need. And if we do that, then we win someone over for Christ. That's the intention of what Christ is saying right here. See, the only way that we can follow this difficult teaching, this is a difficult teaching. I would say that for myself as well. It's difficult. And God gives us the insights. The closer we are to him, the closer we are to his word, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us what we need to do in any given situation. He gives us that spiritual knowledge and understanding what is right and what He would have us to do. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to instill a deep-seated realization that the same God who provided what we already have can restore everything tenfold. You know, I know all of us has helped somebody in some way. You know, I've given people stuff. I've given them shirts, I've given them coats, I've given them money, I've given, you know, different things. At the time, you look at the situation and the person's situation as Jesus looked at it that day, and you make those adjustments and you make those decisions based on what you know, and pray that you're not being taken advantage of. So Jesus continued to tell His audience, "And whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him two." And here we go with someone that needs help, or to maybe take them somewhere. maybe they need a mile. You drive them 2 miles or 5 miles or 20 miles, whatever it takes. And in this life here, as we see it, we will not only encounter people who will want to beat us down or take everything that we own, but there will also be people who want to use and abuse us. And you have heard the expression, if you give them an inch, it'll take a mile. You've heard that, right? And Jesus basically said, if they ask for a mile, do not complain about it. Just give them 2 miles. Now, I mean, I'm paraphrasing this what Jesus would say, but that's what I see, that we shouldn't complain about it. Just do it. Get it. So in order to understand what Jesus meant here, I want to break this down as best I can understand it. We have to look at the history and the context of when He spoke these words. Jesus referred to the Persians, their custom adopted by the Roman soldiers when they were traveling. So oftentimes in that time, the law allowed the Roman soldier to make a person carry their backpack for a Roman mile, and that could be yards as well, or 1,000 paces. That is how we get the phrase, go the extra mile. That's where we get the expression. And the Romans expected you to do what they commanded. If they wanted you, the soldiers to carry their backpack, then you were required to do that. So Jesus said, don't command it, just be willing. Just be willing to do that if someone should ask or demand that. So Jesus said in verse 42, give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So, again, these are hard things to comprehend, understand, and know how to really apply them. But if a person asks for a loan of money or goods, we should approach the request, assuming that he makes it in a good faith. If there are no other reasons or doubt in sincerity, Jesus' suggestion is that if we do lend to others, that we might as well consider the money to be gone forever. You know, I don't know how many has come through our office. Many, many, hundreds. In 16 years I've been here, we've had hundreds of people. And Carol and I both have heard them say, I will pay this back. We've only had one to come back and do it. And it goes along with what the scripture says, you know. They may say it, but do they mean it in their heart? Oftentimes they tell you what you want to hear or what makes you feel right at that time. But you know, we don't have to answer that, right? The person who misuses or take advantage will be doing the answering to that one of these days when they're judged accordingly. And that's what Jesus is saying here in our word today. We just have to take a lot of things by faith, of trusting the Lord, that He is the true and righteous judge of all things. And He will judge righteously. Now, we don't always do that, but that is should be our goal. And this struggle to retain will probably not be worth the effort, not to mention the damage it could cause in relationships. One's character and our public witness is very important. So our generosity could lead that person to faith in Christ. Our lack of it could drive them away from the Lord. Several years ago, we had a man, I'd never seen him before. He came in. And a lot of times we think, okay, they want their bills paid or something like that, or asking for money or something like that. This man came in and he wanted a Bible. I said, okay, I can help you there as well. So I took him to my office and I went through my bookshelf and so forth, and I found him a Bible. And of course he promised, I'll see you on Sunday. Was he here? No, he wasn't. Has he been back since? No, but may God bless him in his reading of that Bible. You know, that's the best gift I could have given, that Bible. And I hope that he did, was sincere in taking the Bible, reading it and so forth, but he didn't keep his promises on the other things. I just hope that he had good intentions of reading that Bible. And maybe it changed his life. I hope it did. I hope it did. Okay, secondly, Jesus said you should love your enemies. It's another one, isn't it? It's another one we have to think about. So I want to give a couple points here on this. What Jesus, his intentions was, and what he wanted his hearers to comprehend and discern. Jesus was making it, what he was making is that God does not love just his followers. He loves each and every person in this world. Going back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So he sends the blessings of the rising sun. You know, we read this scripture here a few minutes ago. And the blessing of the rain, and on both believers and unbelievers alike. I've heard that questions so many times. Why do the evil people get away with what they get away with? And this verse pretty well answers it. See, Jesus died for the entire world, meaning he died for all. And Paul said of Jesus, the death that he died to sin once and for all. In Romans 6:10, he died for all mankind. He made all mankind. He created all mankind. So he died for all mankind. And since God loves each and every person in this world, then so should we, whether they are good, bad, kind, or rude. Again, the difficulty of that is sometimes it's hard, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
But that's what Jesus is teaching us here. The second point is that Jesus is saying we all live on this earth together. And we and our enemies both go about our daily business under the same sun. Both of us experience the blessings of the rain and the waters that causes the earth to grow. So we cannot avoid bumping into our enemies every now and then, and again, we might as well do our best to diffuse any situation that should arise and work it towards peace. Jesus was about peace. That's why he says in John 14:27, "Peace I give you, not as the world gives, I give you, but peace I give you." And then he also said, let not your heart be troubled, and let it not be afraid. Let not it be afraid. Peace I give you. That's the spiritual peace. That's the inner peace that we have. Knowing that, you know, in our troubled world, things that go bad, go wrong, things that happen, if we have peace with him, then we're secure in our beliefs. In closing here this morning, Jesus concludes by saying, Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you know, we all say we'll never be perfect on this side of heaven, right? Yeah. But we can be complete in Christ. We can be perfect in that way. And the word perfect is translated from the Greek word telos, meaning end, goal, and limit. And here in verse 38 is the goal set before us, the absolute standard of our Heavenly Father. He is perfect. And he looks at us that we can be complete in him. That's what he's looking for us, to be complete in him. And therefore, that shows perfection in our lives if we're complete in him. If you understand what that means, being perfect in him, being complete, just like he is, we can be in his image, in the spiritual image of Christ. So the word is used also to relate to perfection of adults compared with children. In other words, be like your father and strive to be a perfect believer or a mature Christian. See, we can be mature in our walk with the Lord. That's why we get into the Word. That's why we read it. That's why we pray. That's why we meditate and reflect on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Memorize that verse. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And this ends this chapter 5. And what a good way Jesus ended chapter 5. I like that. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He's complete. And when I think about that complete or perfection, I look at Jesus as an example. And we know we never can compare to Jesus, and I've heard that over and over and over. But he set the standard for us. He set the standard. And everything he did it to perfection. He did it to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. And that's why the Heavenly Father says, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. That's why Mary said that when Jesus turned the water into the wine, she told the servants, whatever Jesus tells you, just listen and just do it, because he makes perfect decisions. We like to make good and perfect decisions, right? But how do we do that? Do we just do it? No, we pray about it. We pray before we make any decision, whether they're how big or how small they are. That's the standard Jesus is talking about right here this morning. Address it. Jesus didn't do anything on his own. He went to the Father in prayer. That's why he spent so much time in prayer. In the mornings, early in the mornings, before daylight, he would go to the Father and set his day on the obedience to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, what do you have in store for me today? Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to these people that I came to die for? He did it with joy because he was being obedient to the Father. If we could just stop and think about the things that are taught here in this word, but we will not know it unless we sit down and read it and study it for ourselves. And that's how we learn Jesus's way. That's how we are able to respond and do what John chapter 5 verse 48. Be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said, I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do. Now, if Jesus said that, we need to do that as well, right? Even more so. Of course, we know the Trinity, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Jesus came, God, Jesus is God, the Godhead, but he came in the flesh to identify with you and me, and therefore Jesus didn't have weaknesses because he chose to be perfect and complete. Aren't you glad he set the example for us? Boy, I am. If he didn't, we would have nothing to look forward to. We'd just be floating around in space. Right? In our minds and in our hearts. Jesus gives us something to really focus on and apply to our lives. So why not start today? Being that, having that perfection in our life. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for these scriptures, and they are, they're not easy to comprehend. We can see them as complicated to our society in responding to people and their needs and the way of life. But this is the best way, you say. Because that's the way heaven's going to be. It's going to be perfect. We just can't comprehend that at this moment in time. But one of these days, we will know it. So we should be practicing now what we're going to be doing in heaven. So Lord, help us to give us that desire, that motivation to be obedient to the scriptures, to be obedient to your words, because you were obedient in all ways while you was here. And then you sent the Holy Spirit to teach us your ways as well. And as we listen, Lord, help us to not just take it lightly, but truly, truly apply these teachings to our lives. Help each one of us, Lord, to be more open and be positive to life situation and not negative, because negativity will not get us anywhere, especially with you. But when we think positive and act in the ways that you are teaching us, then it makes our situation and the world's situations move closer towards you, that we might win lost souls to you. If we don't set that example, then the world has nothing to look forward to. We might be the only Bible people will ever read. The way we act and respond to this world's situations. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. As you speak to each one of us today, may we be willing to step out and make a decision and respond to your invitation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.